For our scripture reading tonight, let us turn to the well-known verses of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and let me begin at verse 21. Verse 21 of Ephesians 5. I know I'm breaking into a sentence there, but let us do that for tonight. Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Thus far the reading of Scripture. So the subject for tonight is, after last time, which was the foundations of marriage, this time is the roles in marriage. Now imagine the confusion and frustration that would exist in a business where there were no job descriptions. Or imagine the confusion and frustration that would exist on a sports team if no one knew his specific role or responsibility on the team. With maybe many team members making themselves coaches one time and another time, there is no coach for the team because there are no job descriptions. How much confusion there would be in our world and in our homes. Also, if we would set aside God's word with its specific callings and its specific duties, to which God calls husbands and to which he calls wives. So this evening we hope to look at the roles and the duties of the husband and the wife. Now let me say that in life husbands and wives are equal before God. And it's a threefold equality. For one thing, they have equal dignity as creatures. Equal dignity as creatures. Genesis 1 verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So the woman is equally the image bearer of God as the man. Secondly, they have equal depravity as sinners. Equal depravity as sinners. So we all share in the sin of Adam. Romans 5 verse 12 says that very clearly. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, we share in the depravity of the fall into sin. In the words of Romans 3, verse 10 to 18, they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good. Men and women, husbands and wives alike. Thirdly, they have equal privilege as believers. Equal privilege as believers. Paul is writing in Galatians 3 verse 28 to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are the children of God, and he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now we cannot draw the conclusion that all distinctions are done away with, so that the bond or the slave does not have to listen to his master anymore, and that the woman should become office bearers. Let's not draw those conclusions. Scripture is very clear that there are different roles in marriage, in church, in life, But that does not mean that one is superior and the other inferior. In Christ Jesus, both the believing husband and the believing wife receive full pardon, receive the righteousness of Christ, and both have the right to eternal life. They have equal privileges as believers. That in the face of a world in which they say and charge the church, are you still old-fashioned? Indeed we are. But that does not mean that we find that the man is superior and the woman is inferior. The Bible gives no room for that. There is this equality before the face of God as creatures, as sinners, and if by grace, as believers. But now let's look at the mutual duties that the husband and wife share by the command of God. The mutual duties that the husband and wife share by the command of God. See, we all have specific duties. That will come out later on. The specific duties of the husband, the specific duties of the wife. But that does not mean that we don't share mutual duties. And in fact, some of that overlaps with the specific duties. But the Lord wants to show us something of those mutual duties that we share to one another. Three of them that I have just for tonight. There are more that could be mentioned. I took, in my mind, the top three. Mutual submission to one another, first of all. Mutual submission to one another, first of all. Ephesians 5, verse 21. That's where we began our scripture reading tonight. Just before that specific command that comes in verse, I think it's 22. Just before that specific command for the wives to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord, Paul says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So there's this mutual submission that's needed. That's the case in the church, but that's the case also in marriage. And when Paul uses that word submit, he paints this picture of a military kind of picture. The word he uses means literally to line up under, as soldiers might line up under their general and their commander and have to heed the command that he issues them. Now you know the army, that's one great force. They're comrades. They're going together, they're standing up for each other. What kind of a military would it be if there is no sticking up for one another, helping one another? And now that would be very poor in an army. And now the Christian is to line up under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Captain of Salvation, the Lord Jesus, in order that they might serve one another. So in other words, we're not to be self-serving and self-seeking in marriage, but serving one another and seeking the good of one another. That's needed in the army, that they support one another. Imagine if a soldier said, I just care for myself. Then if every soldier said, I'm just going to look out for myself, then you might have these men with military uniforms on, but you don't have an army. And so you may have had a tux on and you may have had a wedding dress on and you may have said, I do, and you may have had a wedding, but if there is no bowing under the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Bible is saying, then we don't have the marriage that God intends us to have. Indeed, God has given different roles in home and marriage, but in the words of Philippians 2 verse 13, fitting words for us too in our marriage. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem each other better than themselves. Now what does that mean? This mutual submission means this willingness to listen to one another. For the spouse has something to say about me and my life, of what might be a better approach, of what may be a better way, and how foolish of me, and how sad if I were to refuse to listen to my wife, how foolish it would be if I, as husband, cannot be corrected, if we're unapproachable and unteachable and insist on being the head of the house. rather than honoring one another and submitting myself to my wife or to my husband's good instruction, correction, and counsel. Of course, what if the spouse asks us to do something that's not agreeable to God's word? Must we then still submit to one another? No, for Paul says submitting to one another in the fear of God. We must keep the Lord, as Psalm 16 says, always before us. But let there be this mutual submission. Secondly, mutual assistance to one another. It's the duty particularly of the wife to be the helpmeet to the husband. And what that looks like we'll come to a little bit later. But the husband and the wife are to help each other. That's how the marriage form speaks about it. Of the purpose in marriage, the first purpose it says is that each faithfully assist the other in all things that belong to this life and the better. Each assist the other. That's what is made clear in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12. After having told us of the man who is all alone, who works hard, who makes a lot of money, but for whom does he do it actually? For he's all alone, and when he dies, whose will all his goods be? And that leads the preacher to say, now two are better than one. Is he maybe thinking of what God said in Genesis 2? It is not good that the man be alone. Well, whatever the preacher is thinking of in Ecclesiastes 4, he says two are better than one, and he gives three different pictures of these two that are going through life together. The first picture is of them on a journey. They're traveling. And especially in the times in which Ecclesiastes was written, different from our day, there were no street lights at night, and the roads were not that smooth. There were holes in which you might fall, and you needed to be careful. You could easily break your ankle or fall down. The fall could be so bad that you could never get up again. If you are all alone and if there's no one to help you, that would be sad. But if you're traveling with someone else, then your companion can help you up again. Second picture the preacher gives is of two at nighttime. The help you can give to each other to warm each other. And the third picture is of being safer than just with one person. For if there's two of you, then you have someone who can defend you. And the robber may think twice because there's two of you. So nonetheless, I think that that's clear. That our task is to care for one another and to assist one another in marriage too. To give mutual assistance in the cares of this life. The cares of the earth. And in the management of finances. My wife knows I need a lot of help there. The management of finances, and sometimes the wife is a great help here. Or the care of the home and children. But when the wife is maybe tired or worn out, then the husband shouldn't just sit on the couch and be unwilling to share the load. He should be willing. And not just when the wife is all exhausted. I think you understand me. John Angell James says this: no man should think of marrying who does not stand prepared to share, as far as he can do it with his wife, the burden of domestic cares. Shouldn't even think about marriage. If you're not willing to share the burden of domestic cares. But mutual assistance not only in the cares of this life, but in the concerns of personal religion. For there is the life to come. And how sad it is to travel to eternity without exhorting one another while it is the day, without praying for one another, and without encouraging one another in spiritual things, in spiritual exercises, in family worship, and raising the children together in the fear of the Lord, as the marriage form also calls for. Thirdly, mutual love. Yes, it's the duty of the husband particularly to love his wife. Ephesians 5 makes this clear, but mutual love is needed. 1 Peter 1 verse 22, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And 1 Peter 4 verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. There's the importance of mutual affection. And John Angell James says that that should be there before marriage, else you cannot expect that it will be there after. And it must be mutual or there can be no happiness, he says. And this quote from J.R. Miller that is on your outline, I think. Perfect harmony in marriage must come through gentleness. The present duty is unselfish love. Each must forget self in devotion to the other. Each must blame self and not the other when anything goes wrong. There must be the largest and gentlest forbearance. Impatience may wreck all. A sharp word may injure the process of soul blending. They ought to serve one another and love one another. And what a sad thing when this is not the case. And that's why J.R. Miller says this. We must watch against every smallest beginning of misunderstanding or alienation. Unwise and impatient words can sometimes estrange us from one another. And if we've said something amiss, or if we've said something in the wrong spirit, then, as James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another and seek mercy. Don't let your home lose its warmth of love. It will become cold. Yes, we need the love of 1 Corinthians 13. But now let's come to the specific duties and the specific roles that God has given by His design. First of all, the husband. He is to labor. He is to labor. That's what the Bible calls him to, as to be the main provider. The main provider. Now the calling to work came with creation already. Genesis 1 verse 28. In the fall into sin, man will still experience difficulty in his work of labor. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat. Yes, the man's task is to labor. Psalm 128 verse 2, that psalm that speaks of family happiness that we sing most often on wedding days. It begins with the man who fears the Lord, and verse 2 says this, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Ephesians 4 verse 28, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. And if I may add something, that the husband is not just to labor for food, for physical food, but for spiritual food. John 6 verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So the husband is called to be the main provider, and so to labor. Secondly, he is to lead. To lead. Yes, the Bible calls him to be a wise leader. Ephesians 5, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. 1 Timothy 3 verse 4 and 5 and 12, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3, the head of the woman is the man. Yeah, then he is called to lead. Of course, that does not mean that the husband is there to boss people around and just to shout out his orders. But a leader is someone whose concern is for the well-being of others. He's to be a servant leader. In the words of Jesus, Matthew 20, where he's speaking about leadership, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. It's to be a servant leader, as Jesus displayed. John 13, humbling himself and taking on the robe of a servant and bending down to wash his disciples' feet. Husbands, can your wife say that? You're such a leader, a servant leader. To be also a spiritual leader. Yes, a spiritual leader. As the prophet who is to teach, as the priest who is to pray, and as the king who is to rule. But you see how these two go together, this leading. And our marriage form puts it so beautifully, that the husband, according to his ability, shall lead his wife with discretion, instructing, comforting, protecting her as the head rules the body, yea, as Christ is the wisdom, consolation, and assistance to his church. One writer sums it up this way: this means you must spend much time with her, that you must give her useful, scriptural, and practical instruction, that you must be a good example to her, and that you must make decisions and delegate responsibilities in your home. Thirdly, he is to love. He is to love. The Bible calls the husband to be the loving companion to his wife. 1 Peter 3 verse 7, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving the honor unto the wife." If the husband is to love his wife, that means he has to take time to know her and to walk with her and talk with her. A companion who knows his wife and the needs of his wife. That belongs to love, doesn't it? Ephesians 5, where it commands the husband three times to love his wife, speaks about it this way, verses 28 and 33, that the husband is to love his wife as their own bodies. A man spends a lot of time, doesn't he, and gives great deal of thought and effort and money to take care of himself. What does a man do when he's hungry? Most often he sees to it that there's something for him to eat. If he's thirsty, he sees to it that he drinks. When he's tired, he sleeps. When he's in pain, he goes to the doctor, most often. When he cuts himself, he washes the wound and binds it. We protect ourselves in dangerous situations. And Paul says, now that's what we are to do. To love our wife as we love our own body. But there's this higher standard, verse 25, "Husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And what can we all say about this love? In light of what Ephesians 5 says, in light of all that the Scripture says, it should be this love that's communicated. Christ tells his church he loves her. So should we. It should be a love that protects. He does that in that gospel account when the enemies have come to arrest him, and he says, "If ye seek me, let these go their way." It's a love that provides. He provided for his disciples and their needs. He provides for his people. "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Doesn't he do that in Hosea 2? Where, speaking of the adulterer's wife, he says, "I gave them corn and I fed them wine and I gave them what they need, and they still went and served other gods." But shows his love providing for his bride. But above all, it's a love that sacrifices. It's a sacrificial love. He gave himself to the death of the cross for his bride, for her sins, so that he might save and beautify his church. You see the lines that can be drawn in our role as husband, that our love should be communicated. Christ's bride loves to hear him say it. So does a wife. It assures her of his love for her. This love protects. A wife needs protection. The wife needs to know. And I try to tell young couples when they come for premarriage counseling, the wife needs to know she's safe by you. That you'll protect her at all cost. It provides too. Wife has many needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs. And I am to provide for her in those needs with love and care. But especially, I am to deny myself and to put a line through myself in order to wash her feet, to give myself for her good, to cherish the relationship. And maybe, although there's not much time for application and examination, but can I ask that nonetheless of husbands? Is she worth that much to you? Does your love beautify her as Christ loved his church to save her and to present her without spot or wrinkle before the Father? Now the role of the wife. She is to be a homekeeper. She is to be the keeper at home. Titus 2 verse 5. The older women are to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The Lord has given a home, and he counts the home an important place. And he places one person, especially the wife, to be the keeper at home. 1 Timothy 5 verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, or manage or keep the house. And then it says this, and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In Proverbs 31 verse 27, describing the virtuous woman, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. So the home is a special place. I know the world doesn't say that. The idea in the world is that the home is basically a motel. There's no relationships really in a motel. It's just a place to sleep. But God's word says something far different. It's a special place, and the wife has a special calling in the home. But what about, Pastor, getting some more income? But what, at what cost will we do that? It comes at a cost which the Lord Jesus does not want Christians to make. Pastor, but what about impacting the world? The Bible sets forth one way to impact the next generation. And that's by the wife taking her place given by God and to seek to help. Seek the help of the Lord to raise your children in the fear of the Lord. I don't know who made this saying, but the one who rocks the cradle rules the world. I know it's not a glamorous task. It's nothing like facing the same dirty laundry, cleaning the same places. It's the lot of mundane. But there's nothing as important as home. Proverbs 31 speaks of the virtuous woman. You know what her husband and children say of her? They call her blessed. How come? I think it is especially because the father and the children have learned who is the most important in life for mom. The Lord. And who does the Lord use for the most part to teach them that? Is their mother. Secondly, honor. Not only a homemaker, but honor. The wife ought to be a respectful wife. Ephesians 5 verse 22, submitting, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 33, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. 1 Peter 3 verse 1, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Titus 2 verse 4 and 5, submit yourselves. That's the word that Paul has painted before, to line up under, as soldiers line up under their commander and place themselves under their general. But Paul, when you're writing this, didn't you know that this would not be so popular in the 21st century? Oh, it wasn't so popular in his day either. It's never popular to the sinner and to those who remain in rebellion against God, but those who are changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's different. Those who come under the authority of Christ know about submission because they've learned to surrender at the feet of Christ, and how freeing that is. When the sinner surrenders, because then he lets go. And someone takes over on his account. The husband is to lead, the wife is to submit. That means the husband makes the final decision. I usually use this example with young people in premarriage counseling. I mean, sometimes wives think that it's they're tasked to do all that they can to fight against their husband. Always disagree. It's as if they're on two opposing teams. But in marriage, you're on the same team. And the goal in your marriage is just like the goal of one unified team is to get the ball to the other side. There's one person who calls the shots. Quarterback. Not that I'm so familiar with quarterbacking. But the final decision rests with him. And it would be useless if the receivers and everyone else on the team would start arguing with the quarterback. Because you're on the same team to go in the same direction. True, a wife may have her ideas. She may have her opinions. She may have her desires. She may have her requests and insights. And she may lovingly make them known to her husband. But she knows that he's calling the shots. And there will be no progress if his lead is not followed. But now what if he's an unbeliever? Peter says that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. He's just said, be subject to him. What if a couple got married and both were unconverted, and now the wife is converted and the husband remains as he is? What should the wife do? Seek a divorce? Get out of the marriage? Throw off the yoke of her husband? Say, I don't need to listen to you anymore? Peter says, be subject to your own husbands. He's your husband. It's God who brought you together, even though you did not know it at the time, but he has brought you together. Let this be a warning to those who would be unequally yoked. But must the wife submit at all times? Does it not depend on her husband's abilities, talents, education, spiritual state? No. It doesn't depend on all his gifts, talents, whether he has many or few. And the wife must submit at all times. It must be an extensive submission. Ephesians 5 verse 24. Those three words. So let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Submission, you see, is not a pick and choose and on again, off again matter for the wife. No, submission is a lifestyle at all times, in all places, in everything. There's only one exception. If the husband asks his wife to do something which is against God's word, Colossians 3 verse 18, to submit and respect to him as it is fit in the Lord. There may be those times when the wife lovingly has to say, yes, lovingly, my dear husband, I wish to honor you in all things, but you're asking me to do something that is against the will of God, and I can't. I must obey God rather than men. And thirdly, she must be a helpmeet. Bible calls her to be his closest assistant. His closest assistant. That's what Adam found. None of the animals could provide the kind of help that man needed. And the wife was brought to him to fulfill the needs. And after the fall, in so many ways, to fulfill the lacks and the inadequacies of her husband. The words of Proverbs 31 verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now what does helping mean? Negatively it means this, not hindering the husband or doing anything that would be harmful or detrimental to her husband. There should be no cutting remarks or constantly reminding him of his faults and nagging him and telling him of his mistakes and failures. Positively, of course, husbands do need corrections, but let them do it lovingly and patiently as one who seeks to help. And positively, it means putting her gifts at the disposal of her husband to be a helpmeet, to say, what can I do for you? Let's stop there.